to the MLS Aces podcast. This is episode 5 of the podcast, and it seems to be flying by already. This is your host, Tom Sweezy, and today I'm joined with my co-host for another great episode, Riley McManus. Riley, how are you doing today?
I am cold. It actually dipped down below the 50s today, so...
Oh, it's cold in Louisiana now.
Yeah, I'm wearing pants with shorts underneath.
Just in case, you know, you get a nice little, warm sprout coming through, it's rip the pants off.
Yeah, a little 60 degrees, 70 degrees, you know, the usual.
It's 39 outside and snowing a little bit, so.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun. That's why I live down south.
You know, I've only known New York and Pennsylvania, so I guess I'm used to it.
Yeah, I hear Miami's lovely this time of year.
So today in the podcast, we have a very, very long list of topics to talk about, very different from last week, and in a very short amount of time. So first, I'm going to go through all the signings that Riley and I decided to be less important, but we still wanted to touch on them, just like literally say, this team signed him, this is the position, move on to the next guy. Afterwards, we're going to go into some of the more important signings. We're going to talk about them in depth, and then we're going to go into some news. So, Riley, you ready?
Yeah, I am. Let's do it.
Okay. So, the first signing that happened was the Columbus Crew signed center defensive mid Mohamed Abu from Stromsgat. The Crew also went on to sign another midfielder in Christian Martinez from Chirio. I know they had him on loan last season. And the Crew signed another defensive midfielder, Oguchi Obinwa, who was a free agent at the time. The Houston Dynamo signed winger Vicente Sanchez from Defensor Sporting. He's 37 years old, so I feel like that's going to be some type of veteran forward depth behind all the young guns they signed. Here are some Minnesota United signings, because they actually decided to fill out their roster for the preseason. Bernardo Anor, he is a midfielder, and he last played with Minnesota's NASL squad. Minnesota also signed free agent center back Jermaine Taylor, who played with Portland last season. Minnesota also signed midfielder Ibsen, who is a veteran, I think he's a Brazilian midfielder. He played with Minnesota's NASL squad last season. They also signed center back Brent Coleman, who played with their Minnesota squad. And one of the bigger signings that we're not really going to get into was they signed attacking midfielder Rasmus Schuler from BK Häcken. The next signing, Portland Timbers signed right back Chance Myers from free agency. He was the number one overall draft pick by Sporting Kansas City a few years ago, and he finally left that team. Portland Timbers have re-signed winger Darren Espria from his loan from Millonarios in Colombia. The Real Salt Lake has signed center back David Horst, who is a free agent and played with the Houston Dynamo last season. Real Salt Lake has also signed veteran free agent forward Chad Barrett, who played with San Jose last season. The Whitecaps finally joined in on free agency, signing winger Jordi Reyna from RB Salzburg. Atlanta United, this is the one Atlanta United we're probably not going to talk about, is they signed center back Leandro Pires from Estudiantes. FC Dallas has signed forward Christian Coleman from Nacional Asuncion. I think he is a DP signing for them. New York City FC has signed center back Alexander Kayens from Numancia. San Jose has signed forward Marcos Urania from Brøndby IF. And the final signing that we're not going to get into much depth on is that Orlando City SC has traded for New York City goalkeeper Josh Saunders. Now, I just talked a lot, so Riley, please say something.
Okay. Well, all those moves are relatively good. They're not going to impact MLS a lot. They're not going to impact those teams a lot. They're going to provide depth and, you know, maybe a couple starting roles in there. But to actually dip into some of the signings we want to talk about, Alan Gordon, MLS super sub, played the last couple of seasons with the Galaxy. He scored 40 goals in not 40. He appeared 40 times in MLS regular season, scoring 5 goals over the last 2 years, all as a sub, 0 goals as of last year, but did score 1 in the MLS or the U.S. Open Cup. Alan Gordon leaves a Galaxy team that has a lot of new faces and a lot of old guys left. So, I mean, it was time for him to leave. The Galaxy experienced a lot of, you know, a lot of change, a lot of new faces, and I think it was his time. He goes to Colorado, and Colorado needs a little bit of striker depth since they just lost Sebastian Letou, which we'll talk about a little bit later. So, Alan Gordon, what does this mean for the Rapids?
Like you said, I think it's just he provides some striker depth behind a team that had trouble scoring goals last season. Dominique Badji seems to be their number one option, I guess, because Skelzengashi is kind of in that weird midfielder striker, like in between zone. So right now, I feel like for true strikers, I like Dominique Badji the best, and I think Alan Gordon can come on as a late sub and possibly score a late goal.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, he's a super sub. He's not going to play 90 minutes.
No.
He's not going to play 45 minutes. He's going to come on in 80th. He's going to provide that late game clutch that he's proved to have all his career.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You also have another Rapid sign, so what you got?
This Rapid sign, it was pretty interesting for me. The Colorado Rapids have signed Ghanaian midfielder Bismarck Adjei-Boateng. Who was played the last 4 seasons on loan at a Norwegian club, which was Strømsgård IF. But he is a Manchester City like product, and it's kind of cool seeing someone who is a Man City product who was on loan somewhere else to finally, you know, to get another starting shot in MLS. For Strømsgård, he played in 85 appearances, scoring 16 goals. And from what I've seen from like what I've read about him and seen some highlights and stuff, he is definitely a box-to-box midfielder. Like he can go up in the attack, fall back in the defense, and seems to be like a perfect fit for the Rapid system. And he's 22 years old, so he has, you know, the youth, he has potential talent, and he fits in the system, I think, perfectly. What do you think about the signing?
Well, I think it's a great move. I think it's, you know, it provides more pace and more possession-type play for the Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
Head coach Pablo Mastroianni said, "We are pleased to add a player with the quality of Nene," which I guess that's a nickname now, "to our roster. He has a deep understanding of the game and a lot of technical ability. At just 22, he has performed consistently at a very top level in competitive European leagues for a number of years, and we look forward to his contributions in 2017. So obviously, the head coach likes it. The Rapids like it. Why shouldn't I like it?
I mean, I think all MLS fans should like it.
Yeah.
Moving on from the Rapids. Rapids, you know, those are two big moves, but plenty of other teams to talk about right now. DC United. Riley, I know you wanted to take one of the first guys on the list.
Sebastian Letou. He has racked up 247 MLS career appearances with 57 goals and 57 assists in 8 years in the league. He should provide depth on the wing to DC in 2017. He's played for, of course, played for the Rapids last year and played for the Philadelphia Union. He's a good, solid pickup. I think DC needs more scoring. That's one thing they lacked, and that's ultimately why they got knocked out of the playoffs.
I mean, this will be his 6th MLS club, and like he's definitely an MLS journeyman. But he's talented. You know, he adds very good, solid minutes for whichever club he plays for. And at the age of 33, he still is doing it well. When he was with the Union last season for the first part of the season, he was their leading goal scorer. I'm pretty sure up until when he got traded to the Rapids. And in 11 appearances for the Rapids, he only scored 1 goal. But still, he's talented, and I think he can add any major like help to a DC United team who is only kind of figuring out their offense towards the later part of the season.
Yeah, it's a good pickup, and hopefully he does well, and we can see DC, one of the most storied clubs in MLS, make a run.
It'd be nice to see the return of DC United. Again, speaking of DC United, they made a second pretty decent signing. DC United has signed a homegrown product. He's out of Wake Forest, Ian Harkes. Ian Harkes is a midfielder, and he is the son of former U.S. men's national team midfielder John Harkes. John Harkes is right now the head coach of FC Cincinnati and was the assistant coach at the Red Bulls from 2006 to 2007. Obviously, I think he has the talent in his family if his dad has done it, and probably his dad has coached him for probably many years when he was younger. I know that Ian won, I'm not sure, I forgot the name of the award, but he won the award for the best collegiate soccer player in the country last season. So I think, again, this is a huge boost to a DC United team who could see this kid come in right away and produce. Like, I don't know if he is a starter quality right away, but it would be interesting to see.
He won the Heisman Trophy of college soccer. Let's just put it like that.
I like that. Good.
He's hoping he doesn't get the trophy or the accolades that a Heisman Trophy winner would. Well, I imagine he got a trophy. Trophies are nice. He might be good. He might not be good. He's a homegrown guy, so imagine they've had him in the system. They know what he's like. They know a lot more than us.
Yeah, I'm sure
So
they know how he plays.
if they sign him and he's good, have at it, DC.
All for the best, you know?
Yeah. Okay, moving on to personally my favorite team, which I'm not going to be biased because that's not my job to be biased.
You can be biased, that's okay.
Yeah,
It's
I guess
a podcast. No one listens for actual news.
so. Okay, my beloved Orlando City Soccer Club has traded away one of my favorite players, Kevin Molino. Is heading to Minnesota United, as well as Pat McClan, the backup goalkeeper, for $650,000 in allocation money, which is the record for most money transferred in a single deal in MLS history.
When I read that blew my mind, honestly.
Yeah, because we've had record breakers this year, but this takes the cake because it's the latest one. They bring in a lot of money, but they lose a valuable piece in Kevin Molino. Kevin Molino, for those who don't know, is a talented midfielder from Trinidad and Tobago. He played for Orlando's USL team before they moved to MLS. He goes and joins Adrian Heath again. So I think the biggest thing for this move, we have to do something with the money. Because $650,000 in general allocation money is huge. And it's kind of split between general allocation money and target allocation money, which is that whole gam-tam thing is terrible because the league's not very transparent. Anyways, the whole thing with Orlando is Kaká. Kaká is the main thing they center around, but Kaká's not going to be around forever. So I think what we have to do is get like a younger big name guy, like a 27, 28, which I know is not always available from Europe because they're still, doing pretty well within the European leagues. But the youth movement is something I want to focus on, and getting another big name player to kind of step in Kaká's shoes when he leaves.
I mean that's all definitely true. Molino is going to leave a huge hole in the Orlando City lineup, but looking at it from a Minnesota United standpoint, that is a huge signing. I mean, like, I love the signing for them, in my opinion. You bring in Kevin Molino, who's going to play opposite Miguel Ibarra. You finally have your midfield combination right there, and you bring in a goalkeeper who. You only he's your second goalkeeper on the roster, so I mean right now Patrick McLean is your starter, and that may be scary, but I mean looking at it from Kevin Molino's standpoint, I am if I'm a Minnesota United fan, I'm excited. My excitement level is growing, like because you started off slow, but then you bring in all these late signings in the offseason, and I would be excited if I was a Loons fan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the deal for obvious reasons,
For obvious reasons.
Yeah, but Minnesota got a huge piece. They're trying to keep up with Atlanta. And I think Atlanta and Minnesota's that rivalry, first year in MLS together. Oh my goodness, that's gonna be a fun match. It's week two of the MLS season. Just to mark that in your calendars. It's on Sunday. It's part of the Soccer Sunday coverage.
I'm still leaning towards Atlanta a little bit on that, but
oh, definitely, they've made a ton of moves, and this is pretty much the biggest move Minnesota's made.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on a little bit.
They need to get Minnesota's biggest thing. They need to get a solid goalkeeper that we've actually heard of.
I know exactly. Yes. Going back to that, you need a goalkeeper. I know they had all their eggs in their basket for Adam Quarese until they came out that he was injured. So I'm sure that threw a couple nuts and bolts in there, but I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Sticking with Orlando, to kind of fill the hole to have another big name player come in, Jonathan Spector signed with Orlando City from Birmingham City in the English Football League Championship, which is the second division in England. Orlando City has signed a center back to kind of shore up their defense because their defense was dreadful last year. The 30-year-old versatile defender and former U.S. international has signed as part of the Discovery signing rights. Spokesman said from the club is a 4-year deal with club options and targeted allocation money was used to get the center back. The thing about Jonathan Spector, yes, he is an American. Yes, he is a former U.S. international. I don't think he'll ever get a call up again, but he provides kind of experience from England. English second tier strikers and forwards and wingers and midfielders attacking on your goal is always a good thing as a defender because you know how good offense is supposed to look. And MLS is full of offense. MLS is one of the highest scoring leagues in the world statistically. And to have an English based defender that's played in England for a couple years now, to have him part of your back line, it's definitely a good move to kind of shore up an Orlando defense that's been terrible as of late.
Mm-hmm. And I know that Jonathan Spector, I know that Orlando City, like their news report said that he is a center back, and I know he can play center back, but I thought he was more of a right back, in my opinion. But
he's versatile.
No, exactly, he's versatile, and I think for a league that is so, like, we're so weak on fullbacks, I wouldn't be surprised to see him be the starting right back for Orlando City next year and probably be one of the better right backs in the league. So, I like the signing a lot. I like seeing U.S. players come home to MLS, obviously if that's the best fit for them. And, I think it's just a solid signing in general.
Yeah, and that's going to be a fun right back battle between him and Tyler Turner.
Yes.
Because Tyler Turner is proven he should be an MLS side. He's been playing with Orlando City B in USL. I think Tyler Turner, this is his time to come up. So that's going to be a fun right back battle. And if Jonathan Spector loses out to Tyler Turner, the center backs need some help. So he could fit in there.
Okay, moving on to another defender signing this past week. New England Revolution have signed center back Antonio Molinar from Olimpija Ljubljana. That was my best shot at that. For his previous club, he has made 96 appearances between 2011 and 2017. From everything I've been reading about him, he's going to come in as an instant starter for the Revs, for a Revs back line also that is lacking some talent and some like solidity in general. So this is going to be a short and sweet conversation about this guy. I think he's 25, solid center back starter. He's 6 foot. Perfect size, and I think he's going to be, an instant starter for them.
I mean, I don't know too much about this guy. Haven't really researched him. Haven't watched film. He's 25. He's coming into a bad defensive situation for the Revolution. He might be good, but he might not. We had the conversation before the show. You can say that about any signing.
Exactly.
he seems to be a good fit. New England, they're desperate, and to bring in a guy like that, 25, prime of his career, it is a good move.
Mm-hmm. Now on to the final team that we are going to talk about today is Atlanta United. We have three. We have. I know you're excited over there. We have three main signings we're going to talk about. I'll let Riley take the first one.
Okay. Atlanta United. A lot going on. Okay. So first, Brad Guzan is coming to Atlanta in the summer. So Premier League club Middlesbrough announced Wednesday that Brad Guzan will join MLS newcomer Atlanta United after the Premier League season ends in May. I think the reason for the move, Brad Guzan wants to play goalkeeper for a club that's not bad. Middlesbrough has been bad this year. He played for Aston Villa last year, which was god-awful. And he also wants to play because Victor Valdez has taken a lot of goalkeeper reps. He's taken a lot of the starts. He wants to come back to the United States to play, to actually, you know, get in goal and play, which is good. We want Brad Guzan to play. We want Tim Howard to play. We want the younger goalkeepers to play. That's how you get better, and that's how you adjust to real game situations instead of just training. Do I think it's a great move for Atlanta? Yes, because Atlanta needs a goalkeeper. They traded away Clint Irvin back to Toronto when they picked him up in the help me out, the expansion draft.
Yes.
So it's a good move. Guzan's an experienced goalkeeper. He's played for the U.S. He was our number one guy in Copa America. He was our number one guy in Gold Cup. He's obviously proven to keep playing for the U.S. in big tournaments. So Atlanta United just got a great, great goalkeeper.
I mean, when I was hearing all these rumors about Brad Guzan, the only thing that I was kind of thinking of the entire time is he wants to come back to America for the Tim Howard treatment. Because when Tim Howard signed with the Rapids, it was like a welcome parade, and everyone was praising him and everything. And I'm sure Brad Guzan wants a little slice of that when he comes back to MLS.
Oh, definitely. Brad Guzan, I wouldn't say he's jealous of Tim Howard because I'm not.
No, I'm not going to say jealous, but
yeah, that's all speculation.
Yes,
we don't know what goes on in that, and they could be best of friends. But he does want some of the, you know, hey, I'm back. I'm here in America. I get to play every week. Praise me, watch me, enjoy me, because I'm younger than Tim Howard.
Exactly.
And I'll be around longer.
That's what I was thinking of the entire time. All right, the next signing for Atlanta United, which is another big starter quality signing, Atlanta United has signed former Seattle Sounders right back Tyrone Mears. Mears is 33. But still, from his production of last season, I think is still a definite starter and quality starter in a league where, again, I said before, the lack of quality fullbacks in MLS. To me, Mears seems to just fill right in at that starting right back role, and having an MLS Cup champion experience on your side also doesn't help. I'm a huge fan of this move, and I think he's only going to be around for maybe a year or two, but a year or two of quality right-back play in MLS is huge.
Yeah, and he's so consistent. He started 65 of the last 68 matches for Seattle in the last 2 years. He's a proven winner. He's won MLS Cup, and he has shown he can stay within a lineup even getting up there in age. 32, he's not inherently old.
No.
It's not. I mean, when you got 20-year-olds nipping at your heels, it's kind of worrying, but he's a great right back. He's consistent. He's proven. He's everything I just mentioned and more. I think it's a great pickup for Atlanta if they want to make a run soon. This isn't a guy who's going to stick around for 5 years.
No, this is I want to win in 2 seasons type of move.
Yeah. And with the moves Atlanta's made so far, they might just win in 2 seasons.
But we're not getting into that.
Not yet. Speaking of Atlanta making big moves, they have brought on a big, big name player. Well, at least his team is big. They have brought on Anton Walks from Tottenham Hotspur, the English Premier League, but it's a loan. So don't get too excited.
Well, disclaimer here, your favorite team in the EPL is Tottenham. So, you know, no favoritism over here.
No, definitely not. Just like Orlando. It's not, I'm not biased towards Orlando. But he signs a 1 year long deal with the club. And I mean, like I said about Jonathan Spector, when you play in England, that's always good for your experience, and that's always good. Just, I mean, England's so good. Everybody in England's so good. You don't go to England unless you're good, unless you're Memphis Depay. But, I mean, just to have that guy on your roster with the experience of playing against like the likes of Manchester United and Manchester City and Chelsea, to have that as part of your team, and to, I mean, he's a young guy, but to provide that kind of in-depth analysis of how teams kind of form up, and he can see things maybe some of the other guys can't see that have been playing MLS so long. It's amazing to have that guy, even if it's just for a year.
And I could be wrong, but he's a center defensive mid, right? Like he's like that number six.
Yes, he is.
So the only other number six I really see on Atlanta's roster right now is Jeff Lorentowicz.
Yeah.
So could he?
Guess who might be playing?
I mean, like it's again all speculation. He could possibly start. I don't know.
I mean, what's the point of getting him on loan if you're not going to start him, though?
Exactly. What's the point of getting a young guy like this on loan for 1 year if he's not going to play? That's
If
the
you're
whole
just going
thing.
to put him behind a guy who's been in MLS a long time. So, I mean, the reason you get players from Tottenham Hotspur on loan and other places is to play them. And, I mean, that's ultimately why teams trade, or not trade, they loan out players anyway. They want them to get experience because he's not going to bust out in Tottenham lineup. He's not going to replace Dele Alli.
You know, I mean,
So.
I'm sure Atlanta probably like said like signed something with Tottenham saying he's gonna at least play in this many games or something like that.
Yeah. And if he starts those games, he starts them, but as long as he plays.
Okay, those after all of that discussion of what I said in the beginning and what me and Riley just went down, those are all the signings that happened in this last week in MLS. I have been tweeting a lot. I have been posting on Instagram a lot. And my fingers are tired. Now, if all of that signing news wasn't good enough for you, there are three big MLS moves that ha well, not moves news, sorry, that happened.
Storyline.
What'd you say?
Storylines kind of get away
Yes,
from the
three big
Ryan and
MLS
Mississippi.
storylines to kind of talk about a little bit. I'm gonna touch on the first one. Sebastian Giovinco, the my personal opinion, best player in MLS. Has
History.
had an em ooh, okay, I'm not going there. Sebastian Giovinco has had interest from multiple teams and I guess leagues, notably Barcelona, the Serie A, and China. I think the more scary target there, when I say it, is China because China's been signing everyone to huge contracts. It has come out that Sebastian Giovinco is not interested in Barcelona. Quoting, "I would have been a ball boy," and he is not interested in a return back to the Serie A. But he is open to a move to China, and I think that is solely based on how much are they going to pay him. He has also come out to say that he loves Toronto and he loves the city of Toronto and he loves MLS as a league. So it's scary, you know, to kind of hear that the best player in the league could possibly be moving on and leaving. But at the end of the day, I think he needs to do what's best for him. And if he's going to get paid a ridiculous amount of money in China, go for it. You know, do what's best for you, do what's best for your family at that point.
And the thing with Giovinco, he makes $7 million here. And the numbers are always questionable with MLS because they're not a very transparent league when it comes to funds. But he makes $7 million. The belief is, and what they're reportedly saying is, it would be $14 million a year in China, which would obviously be double what he makes here. So, I mean, if you want to go get your money, go get your money. Do we want him as MLS fans to leave? No, because it doesn't matter who Toronto's playing. If Sebastian Giovinco is starting, I'm going to watch. It's like Steph Curry for the NBA. Like, I don't care if the Warriors are playing the Kings. I'm going to watch Steph Curry hit a bunch of threes. like just like you want Giovinco to take every free kick there is. He's the face of the league. I mean, that kind of sounds weird with Andrea Pirlo in the league, but Sebastian Giovinco is the guy you look to, and that's what we want. And if he leaves, we're all going to be sad. But you know what? If he wants to go get his money, go get his money.
Exactly. On an MLS fan base level, I don't want him to leave. I would be upset if he left. But as a person, like a human personal level, if you need to do that for your life, if you need to do that for your family, if you need to do that for you personally, then go get it. You know what I mean? That's just how I feel.
Yeah. And, I mean, Giovinco's good enough. So,
He is, definitely.
All right, moving on to the next piece of news. Clint Dempsey has been cleared to return to the Seattle Sounders and the U.S. men's national team after being sidelined since August with a irregular heartbeat. He was a participant in Seattle Sounders' first training session. He was unable to play during last year's run to MLS Cup, but he was still honored as one of the teammates. Clint Dempsey is one of my favorite players that ever played the game of soccer ever because he was my Landon Donovan. Like, I've watched this dude since I was little play and score in huge games. And to see him back in training with Seattle, it just warms my heart and made me smile. And, Clint Dempsey, I can't wait to see if he plays in March for the U.S.
And exactly, like, I think everyone's happy to see Clint back, and he's obviously a great, great player for both club and country. And just, you know, short and sweet here for me, I just think I'm happy to see him back and healthy.
Yeah, and he's going to bring firepower to that Seattle offense that's already there with Jordan Morris, Nicholas Sedaro, and, I mean, Nelson Valdez moved on, but he can kind of, he's not going to kind of help. He's going to fill in for Valdez, what Valdez brought to the team last year, and I'm excited to see him back.
Mm-hmm. The final piece of, big MLS storyline is the possible return of Freddie Adu. And I know hearing that name kind of brings up some good and bad memories for people. I think I'm a Freddie Adu fan, I guess, following it for the best that I can. But Freddie Adu is on a preseason trial with the Portland Timbers. Freddie Adu is 27 years old and last season played in the NASL with the Tampa Bay Rowdies. It's weird. It's weird hearing Freddie Adu could possibly be making an MLS return. There isn't really much to say. I don't know if this is going to actually happen because the Portland Timbers have one of the most packed midfields in MLS with Nagby, with Valeri, with the return of Asprilla, Diego Chara, and the recent signing of David Guzman. So I really don't know.
It's ridiculous how stacked Portland is in the midfield. I don't know if Freddie Adu is going to work. Freddie Adu has had his struggles as a U.S. player. He's had his struggles as a club team player. I mean, he was the number one overall pick at 14 years old. Mm-hmm. Or MLS Super Draft.
The youngest player to ever score a goal in MLS.
I mean, we had such high expectations for this dude, and now we're here 14 years later, and it hasn't progressed. Like, he's gotten better as a soccer player. It's just our expectations is still kind of, like, when's he going to break through? And he's 27. I mean, he should be in the prime of his career. Realistically, we all thought he'd be playing in Germany or England by now.
It's just, but it's crazy how he's only 27 still, though, when thinking about it. You've been hearing his name since, like, for forever, and he's still only 27 years old.
Yeah, he was drafted when I was 3, so that's, and he's only just now into the prime of his career. But it's, I don't know if it's going to work out. I hope it does, but what's he going to do in Portland?
Exactly. I don't think there really is, too much to kind of, like, speculate about here. I think it's just the trial is to see if he works out. If he works out, if he doesn't work out, no big deal kind of thing,
Yeah, and it's, I hope it works. I like Freddie, I do. Okay, moving on to the last segment, which is probably going to be a thing now. It's the U.S. Men's National Team update of the week. We need some intro music behind that.
Da,
but
da, da.
Bruce Arena has called up his 23-man squad for matches against Serbia and Jamaica. The match against Serbia is tomorrow, which would be Sunday, the January 29th, on FS... That's not on FS1. It is on ESPN2. In the Jamaica match, it's Friday, February 3rd. Is that right?
Sure.
Yeah, February 3rd. It's Friday of next week. It is against Jamaica on FS1. But, I mean, I might as well just read the 23-man list. It's David Bingham, Nick Raimondo, Luis Robles, the two goalkeepers, DeMarcus Beasley, Steve Birnbaum, Brad Evans, Greg Garza, Chad Marshall, Jorge Villafana, the only player not from MLS. He is from the Mexican Liga MX. Walker Zimmerman, Graham Zusi. Your midfielders, Alejandro Bedoya, Michael Bradley, Benny Philhopper, Jermaine Jones, Sasha Kljestan, Sebastian Leggett, Dax McCarty, Darlington Nagbe, and Chris Pontius. And your forwards are Juan Agudelo, Jozy Altidore, and Jordan Morse. Five players have been released back to their clubs. Taylor Kemp, Keegan Roseberry, Brian Rowe, Will Trapp, and Chris Wondolowski. Wando no mo, as I tweeted out last couple days.
Hashtag Wando no mo.
In addition, Giassi Zardes has been sidelined with a minor contusion in his right knee and will not travel to the match against Serbia. He might be on the roster for Jamaica. So that list has been, you know, handed out by Ruiz Arena. A couple players got sent home. Kind of sad to see Will Trapp get sent home. Really wanted him to come on against Serbia, but I guess he didn't have a good camp. I mean, a lot of stuff from camp hasn't been really pushed out there to, you know, the media or the public eye. But I mean, Bruce is obviously doing a good job and he knows what he's doing. So I have a lineup. And I know we did lineups a couple episodes ago, but what I think, what I want Bruce Arena to do, whether he does it or not, it's whatever. This is from the 23-man lineup. I have Bingham in goal. Villafana is my left back. Birnbaum and Marshall is my center backs. Zusi in the right back, which he needs experience there because there's not a right back on this lineup. Bradley is a number 6 as my captain. I'm playing a 4-1-4-1, which worked in FIFA last night, so it has to work in real life. Fellhaber on the right, Kljestan and Jones in the middle together, with Kljestan obviously going forward as number 10 and Jones kind of staying as number 8. Nagbe on the left and Altidore up top by himself, because the key component to make everything with the U.S. Men's National Team work is Jozy. Can Jozy be a solo striker effectively? Because he's always had another guy out there with him, whether it be Juvenko in Toronto, or he's had Jordan Morris as of late, or Clint Dempsey, you know, in years past. But can Jozy Altidore be a solo striker and perform well so U.S. can have a lot of midfielders and keep possession and, you know, be good at soccer?
Mm-hmm. And I think the answer to that question is which Jozy Altidore is going to show up kind of thing.
Yeah, I'll prefer the one for Toronto last year during the playoffs.
Minus MLS Cup, but yeah.
Yeah. But no one was that good in MLS Cup except the goalkeepers. So,
When you emailed me this roster, I mean, no really big surprises. The only thing that I really dislike is the lack of right back on it. Technically, like, the only right backs I can see are Graham Zusi and Brad Evans, possibly. I don't know why Keegan Roseberry was sent home. I'm a little salty about that. But other than that, I think the roster's fine. If I had to pull a roster out of nowhere right now, if you, like I said in last time we did this, if you all, you know, read my blog and whatever, I like to run a 4-4-2. So my goalkeeper would probably be David Bingham. Left back, I like Greg Garza. My center backs would probably be Steve Birnbaum and Walker Zimmerman, with Graham Zusi at right back probably. My defensive midfielder would probably be Brad Evans, Michael Bradley. Wow. My attacking midfielder would be Sasha Kljestan, and my two other midfielders would be Jermaine Jones and Darlington Nagbe, and then my two up top would have to be Altidore Moores.
And that's very plausible, and that's probably more likely than what I sent out. But you know what? FIFA does a lot of things, and it changed my perspective.
FIFA doesn't
So
lie.
FIFA never lies. That's why we ran a three-man back line against Mexico in a World Cup qualifier
Jurgen
that
was
no
playing
one
FIFA the night
ever seen
before.
before. Yeah, it worked. The things about this roster, I think Nick Raimondo and DeMarcus Beasley are there for personality. Like, they're not going to play. They're just there to, veteran leadership, I guess.
Or late
And
minutes, possibly. I mean, I don't know.
if Nick Raimondo plays tomorrow night, sure. Great. He's experienced. He's been with the U.S. for a long time, and he can help out that back line because he's very good at screaming at people orders.
So you need to have a goalkeeper.
Yeah. So if it's Raimondo, it's Raimondo. If it's Bingham, it's Bingham. It's not going to be Robles. But I mean, I'm probably gonna get mean tweets tomorrow night when it is Robles, just because. But I mean, Wando No Mole is the biggest thing. Start a hashtag on Twitter.
Let's start it. When I post this, when I post the link to this on my, I can't speak. When I post the link to this on my Twitter, I'll write hashtag Wando No Mo.
Yeah, great. More than happy. One person I'm disappointed not seeing is Gikita
Yeah,
Manu.
we're gonna, like we said, every single episode, just throw him in somehow, and hopefully he'll listen one day.
We keep tagging him.
Yeah, like this isn't, we're not gonna go into too much depth about it. We hope to see a US win tomorrow, and we just hope to see the best players get on the field.
Yeah, and Serbia's bringing out B team tomorrow. They're not bringing out all the players we know from Serbia because that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, listening
But
to the Total Soccer Show, shout out to them. I think they said there's only beside there's only but like everyone else on the team is sorry, there's only eight capped players on this Serbia roster, and that kind of like blows my mind a little bit.
it's a B team, so. And a lot of their players are, away or whatever, but this is a solely based Serbian domestic team. Like, this is all from their domestic league, and we get to see what Serbia has to offer, so I'm excited.
Yeah, we'll see. And if the United States loses tomorrow, then there'll be an
Fire
issue.
for Serena.
Oh, God.
Okay, we were going two different places.
Yeah, two different places there. Wow. Okay. Let's get to the
All right.
closing of the show. Or how about we do that?
Yeah. All right. So, one thing we both learned today was Atlanta's going to be really good, sort of, if they can figure everything out. What was the highlight of your show today?
The highlight of this show was my excitement about Minnesota United next season.
When they only made one big
They
move.
made one big move, but it was one big good move.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a fun rivalry. Week two.
I mean, Atlanta's just going to be better overall, but that's just something we're going to have to see.
Yeah, Atlanta's gonna be great, but Minnesota's probably gonna beat them 4-0 because MLS.
Because MLS. Okay. How to contact us. If you want to reach out to MLS Aces Podcast, you can email us at themlsace5@gmail.com. Our Twitter is at MLS Aces, and I've been posting a decent amount of interviews that I've had at mlsaces.sportsblog.com. Riley, is there anything else you want to kind of plug that you've been doing?
I am Riley James MC on Twitter. I have my own personal Twitter account. I have some big interviews coming up as well. I have a player from Puerto Rico FC. I may or may not have a New York Red Bull on the docket. And I'm talking to a couple other guys from a couple other places that I will not reveal at this time. But it is a great time at the World Foot News Network, which you can follow at World FN News on the Twitter.
If you guys want to help out the MLS Aces podcast, you need to go to our Twitter account, and in the bio there is a link for a, you know, donation.
Yeah, kind of like a PayPal account.
Yeah, it's a PayPal donation account. Thanks. Just like any type of donation to that account is huge for the show, huge for us, and like we've been saying, it's not going to go to us directly, it's going to go to the show to help improve the show quality for you guys. Is there anything else you want to say before we get off, Riley?
If you have any questions, email us or tweet us. That'd be great.
Yeah, if you love us, you hate us, email us, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not shy on Twitter. You can yell at me. I've been yelled at before. It's fine. I don't mind.
Okay, I want to thank everyone for listening to episode 5 of the MLS Aces podcast. I know it was pretty long because of all the signings we have to talk about, but this is probably one of my favorite episodes that we've done.
Yeah, not too many mistakes. We did as good as we could, and hopefully we just keep improving.
Keep getting better every day.
Yeah. So I hope you stay warm and stay away from snow.
I hope you stay warm in 50-degree weather, and I hope that everyone enjoys the U.S. men's national team game tomorrow, and have a great day.